Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Welcome to Hope for Today. We are so glad that you joined us. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. Each week, our Bible teaching broadcasts circle the globe in English and 22 other major languages. And why do we teach from the Bible? Because the Bible is the only source of lasting hope. It is God's Word. You know, as well as I do, that we can't rely on the words of men, because men change. But God is unchanging. He keeps His promises. Now here is Pastor J. Mark with today's teaching.
I'm sure that you realize, like I do, that our human existence is full of many uncertainties. Every day brings its changes, and many of those changes we can't predict. Only one person knew how his days on earth would end. Even during the last week of his life, Jesus explained to the disciples exactly what was going to happen. You see, he lived with the end of life in view. You and I are not blessed with vision or insight like that. The only certainty we have is the fact of the end. The time of the end is hidden from us. But that's not the way it was with Jesus. The record contained for us in John's Gospel shows us how Jesus came to his death. I want you to notice from John 19:23-30, that he clearly understood what was happening. He was aware of the completed act. And that's the title of our meditation today, The Completed Act. Now listen carefully as I read John chapter 19 and verses 23-30. Here is the Word of God. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without a seam. It was woven from the top to the bottom. They said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." So that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to that disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was nearby a vessel full of sour wine, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. From this array of evidence, I have selected three remarkable particulars which should convince anyone that Jesus died. There will be no more room for doubt about this. The first particular is the disposal of his clothes. There were the soldiers, the ones who were crucifying Jesus. It may well be that their each receiving a part of his clothing was a reward for what they did, a reward for their act. Well, perhaps it was the only way they got paid for it. Or maybe it was just a little bonus. At any rate, they made equal parts, and then they cast lots for the inner garment, the seamless tunic. It was not the outer garment, but it was the inner garment for which they cast lots because it was woven from the top to the bottom. It had no seam. Isn't it striking that the disposal of Jesus' clothes had been predicted many, many years before by King David in Psalm 22? He wrote, "They parted my raiment among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots." The soldiers certainly didn't know what they were doing. They weren't aware that they were fulfilling Scripture, but they were. I find that remarkable. The disposal of his clothing was a particular which cannot be ignored. It seems like a very insignificant act on the surface, and yet the Bible predicted that this is exactly what they would do when they crucified Jesus, the Messiah. And then there's a second particular about the completed act. It is the disclosure of his concern. We're informed that there were four women standing near the cross: Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, these four women most likely were very close friends of Jesus. And it's also likely that the other women were close friends of his mother. She was there. If you recall, at the time of the birth of Jesus, Simeon as a prophet had said to Mary that a sword would pierce through her own heart. And so here she was, by the cross of Jesus, witnessing his death. Now, besides these four women, there was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and most students of the Bible identify him as John the Apostle. While they were there looking on, Jesus from the cross disclosed his concern for his mother, and he said to her, "Woman, behold your son." And then to John he said, "Behold your mother." And so his last earthly concern was to make sure that his mother was cared for by the loving hands of John. Such a loving act is a particular that cannot be ignored. That disclosure of his concern is clear, is it not? And then the third particular of the completed act is the distinction of his cry. Let me read verse 28 again. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished." I've mentioned earlier that Jesus knew when the end would be, and here we are informed that he was completely knowledgeable about that. He knew the end was coming, and so he asked for something to drink by saying, "I'm thirsty." He had full knowledge of it. The prophet David had predicted that Jesus' tongue would cleave or stick to the roof of his mouth because of thirst, and that was common among those who were being crucified. And then this was followed by Jesus' final word. After he had taken the sour wine from the sponge, he declared as his final word, "It is finished." Praise the Lord. It will never be altered. It cannot be changed. He said it clearly. It is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. My friend, no amount of reasoning can change the record. No amount of reasoning can change the truth. Our Lord's distinctive cry settles that. Such a far-reaching act, such a word from the Savior, is a particular you and I cannot ignore. From these remarkable particulars, we are brought to the unshakable conclusion. He died. He gave his innocent life, the innocent for the guilty. When I survey the wondrous cross, I see God's great, completed act of redemption.
Thanks, J. Mark, for this teaching. We're so glad Jesus has completed the work, and his crucifixion is still saving people to this day. As we just heard, his last statement was, "It is finished." In English, this is three words, but in the original language, it was one word, and the word was tetelestai. I was encouraged with the meaning packed into this one Greek word, and I believe you also will be encouraged as we look at the various meanings. First, Jesus said this on the cross, and his work on earth was completed. He had done all the Father gave him to do. Verse 28 uses the same word, tetelestai, and it is translated, "All things were now accomplished." So, it is finished. Jesus has completed what God had for him to do on earth during his ministry. Secondly, this is the word a priest would use while examining an animal before the sacrifice. If the animal was without blemish and passed the test, he would say, tetelestai. In a similar way, it seems Jesus was saying that his sacrifice is acceptable to the Father. A third use of the word was in business. Many believe This is the word written on the receipts from that time period. And it was used when a debt was fully paid. People had debt, and when the last payment was made, it is finished, is the word that was used to mark the end. After this, no more was owed. This is encouraging when we remember what Christ has done on our behalf. This word was also used in conflict. However, it was only used by the victor, and he only used the word when he knew victory was certain. Then they would use this word, tetelestai. And I wonder if the Roman centurion saw Christ dying, and then he heard Christ's cry of victory and realized, this is no ordinary man. Surely he must be the Son of God. And from our vantage point, 2,000 years after the crucifixion, we know Christ has conquered. He has defeated sin. He has defeated death. He is victorious. Lastly, it's also my understanding that the word was used to signify a turning point. If one time period ends and another one begins, tetelestai was the word that is used. We know from Matthew 27 how the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. This, I would say, marks the end of the Old Testament era. Jesus has ushered in a new time period. No need to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. We are now that temple, and Christ lives in us. These are just a few of the things Jesus may have meant when he said, "It is finished." And it's exciting how you can dig into God's word and never get to the bottom. Today we just looked at that one word a little closer, and there is so much there. Blessings as you take your time and dig into God's word. It is a privilege for us to study God's word and learn from it. Now, take what you heard and put it into practice. The teaching and instruction in the Bible is for us, and it is meant to be lived. Don't be like the man in James 1 who sees himself in a mirror, then goes away and forgets what he looks like. Instead, be like the man in verse 25 who looks intently into the word and is a doer of the work. And we want to bless you as you follow Jesus and share him with those around you. If you have any questions, or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we'd be happy to give you one. Here are several ways you can reach us. The quickest and easiest way is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the third way you could contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please check out our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. We thank you again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.